time of our service here where we partake of the meal that Jesus laid out for us. And for those of you that haven't been here before, how we do this is we've got the emblems laid out up front here in front of each section. And there's two cups in each hole. The bottom cup actually has the bread in it, and the top cup has the juice. Take both cups and take it back to your seat with you. You'll be released. The two of the elders back there will release you to come forward row by row, so it's all done nice and in order. So when you come up, grab your emblems, take them back to your seat, and then partake of them at your convenience. What a perfect song right before the Lord's Supper. But something happened before the resurrection, though. Something that we proclaim when we partake of this meal every week. We proclaim his death until he returns. Have you ever had somebody tell you a story, and in that story they gave way too many details? Like, you're just like, oh, let's get to the point. Well, this morning you may think that's what's going to happen, because I noticed in reading about this that the four writers of the gospel we have each have different aspects that they looked at of the crucifixion. So I've taken the details from each one of them and put them together for the whole story. And I've entitled this "The Long Day." Sometimes working third shift, our days start like the night before, and then all night long, and then you've got stuff to do the next day. Well, this long day for Jesus started the night before in the garden. All night long, he's taken. He has to go from place to place, being tried, abused, judged. And that brings us to the morning. To set the scene we're in right now, Pilate has just tried in vain to release Jesus. He could find no fault in him, but the mob wouldn't have it. They want this man crucified. So if you would, close your eyes, use your imagination if you would, and listen to this story told by the four gospel writers. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the governor's residence and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after braiding a crown of thorns, they put it on his head. They put a shaft in his right hand, and kneeling down before him, they mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the staff and struck him repeatedly on the head. When they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. The soldiers forced a passerby to carry his cross, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which is translated the place of the skull. A great number of people followed him, among them women who were mourning and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For this is certain. The days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore children, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if such things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other criminals were also led away to be executed with him. So when they came to the place that is the skull, that is called the skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. But Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Then they threw dice to divide his clothes. The people also stood there watching, but the rulers ridiculed him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourselves." For Pilate also had written a notice and fastened it to the cross, which read, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Thus, many of the Jewish residents of Jerusalem read this notice Because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the notice was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." One of the criminals who was hanging there railed at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourselves and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we rightly so, for we're getting what we deserve for what we did. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Now when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and made four shares, one for each soldier, and the tunic remained. Now the tunic was seamless, woven from top to bottom as one single piece. So the soldiers said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but throw dice to see who will get it." This took place to fulfill the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they threw dice." So the soldiers did these things. Now standing beside Jesus' cross were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, look, here is your son." He then said to the disciple, "Look, here is your mother." And from that very time, the disciple took her into his home. Now from noon until 3, darkness came over all the land. At about 3:00, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling Elijah." Suddenly, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah will come and save him." Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. Just then, the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened and the bodies of many saints who had died were raised. They came out of the tombs after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Now when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were extremely terrified and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Then, because it was a day of preparation, so that the bodies would not stay on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was an especially important one, the Jewish leaders asked Pilate to have the victims' legs broken and their bodies taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men who had been crucified with Jesus, first the one and then the other. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water flowed out immediately. And the person who saw it has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled, "Not a bone of his will be broken." And again, another scripture says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate if he could remove the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he went and took the body away. Nicodemus, the man who had previously come to Jesus at night, accompanied Joseph, carrying a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 75 pounds. Then they took Jesus' body and wrapped it with aromatic spices in strips of linen cloth, according to the Jewish burial customs. Now at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden was a new tomb where no one had been laid yet. And so, because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, They placed Jesus' body there. And that brings us to the song we just sang. 3 days later, as we know, he showed the power over that death. But everything I just read to you is what he went through for us. We deserved what he went through. Because every one of us sitting here had sinned. And our sin put him on that cross. But he gladly bore it for us because he loves us that much. Let's go to him now as we proclaim his death until he returns. Our Father and great God in heaven, we come before you now, Father, celebrating your Son, remembering that he died for us, that without him we'd have no hope of heaven. Without him we couldn't even speak to you now, for it's through him that we do speak to you. Thank you, Father, for that opportunity. Thank you, Father, for his willingness to endure what he endured. Keeping in mind, through all the stress and everything that he went through, that he had a plan, that you had a plan, that he had to stick to that plan, that no matter what life threw at him, he had to serve you. Help us, Father, to use that as our goal also, to serve you no matter what. Be with each and every one of us now as we partake of these emblems and tell the world that Jesus died for us and them. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.